Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We had a great weekend. Thank you for joining me on yesterday in Tennessee, and I'm thankful that you are with us this morning. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful morning.
It is a beautiful morning. I can see the sun coming up from my room, and it is just beautiful. And it's supposed to be a rainy but nice day today. As I look in our words for today, I have a prayer this morning, and it says, a place for me. It says, there are many rooms in my Father's house. I would not tell you this if it were not true. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. John 14:2 NCV. God overall, it is almost to know that the God of the universe cares about me. When I look in your word, your fingerprint of love shines through nearly every page. How amazing that you not only love us and pursue us in this life, but you have prepared a place for us in your kingdom. What a beautiful gift. Lord, as I walk this life with you, when I start to get discouraged by the world and its ways, lift my eyes. Remind me that this life is a temporary one. There is more to come, and it will be more wonderful than I can imagine. Give me the endurance I need to run this race of life, not forgetting that the finish line is the entrance to a new and glorious reality. I won't forget that you, Jesus, have gone ahead to prepare a place. It will be so worth the wait. And a question for this morning as we get ready to go into our word is this. Do you believe there is a place for you in God's eternal? I believe there's a place for me, Mother. I believe there's a house with my name on it. Father God,
amen.
With humble hearts, Lord God, lifting up your awesome and mighty word, God, asking you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease, Father. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you are a redeemer. So, Father God, we lift up this word to you, asking you, oh God, to lead and guide us, that we walk in righteousness. And Lord, forgive us for any sins we have committed in thought, sins we have committed in words, and sins that we have committed in deed. Forgive us, Lord God, for we are your humble children, repenting for anything and everything that we have done or thought. In Jesus' name, we lift up this word, lift up our hearts, lift up our minds and spirits, as we give them to you, Lord God. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. But as before, I give it to Mother Valerie. For those that are listening in, just an overview so you can join us in the Word. We will be coming out of Numbers chapter 5 and 6. Our psalm this morning is the 30th psalm, verses 8 through 12, which is where our title comes from this morning. Our proverb this morning is chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And we are in Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 38 this morning. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a lovely morning. Temperature today right now is 54 degrees. It's a beautiful, beautiful sunshiny morning. Later on in the evening, or maybe tonight, we're supposed to get rain. Beautiful right now. Coming out of Numbers 5:1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. You should put out both male and female. Put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell. Children of Israel did so, put them outside the camp, as the Lord spoke to Moses, so the children of Israel did. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. When a man or woman commits any sin, that man commit in unfaithfulness against the Lord, and that person is guilty, then he should confess the sin which he has committed. He should make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, give it to the one he has wronged. But if a man has no relative to whom restitution may be made for the wrong, the restitution for the wrong must go to the Lord, for the priest, in addition to the ram of the atonement for which atonement is made for him. Every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring to the priest, shall be his, and every man's holy thing shall be his. Whatever any man gives the priest, it shall be his. Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if a man's wife goes astray, behaves unfaithfully toward him, and a man lies with her carnally and is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and it is concealed that she has defiled herself, and there was no witness against her, nor was she caught, if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes up on him and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defiled herself, then the man should bring his wife to the priest. He should bring the offering required, one-tenth of an ephod of barley meal. He should pour no oil on it, put no frankincense on it, because it's a grain offering of jealousy, an offering for remembering, for bringing iniquity to remembrance. Priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. The priest shall take holy water in an earthy vessel and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle and put it in the water. Then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering for remembering in her hands, which is the grain offering of jealousy. The priest shall have it in his hand, the bitter water that brings a curse. And the priest should put her on the oath and say to the woman, if no man has laid with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. If you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you have defiled yourself and some other man other than your husband has lain with you, then the priest will put the woman under the oath of the curse. And he shall say to the woman, the Lord makes you a curse and an oath among your people. When the Lord makes your thigh rot and your belly swell and made this water that causes the curse go into your stomach, make your belly swell and your thigh rot, then the woman shall say, amen, so be it. Then the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall scrape them off into bitter water, and he shall make the woman drink the bitter water that brings a curse. and the water that brings the curse into her to become bitter. Then the priest shall take the grain offering of jealousy from the woman's hand, shall weigh the offering before the Lord, and bring it to the altar. The priest shall take a handful of the offering as a memorial portion, burn it on the altar, and afterward make the woman drink the water. When he has made her drink the water, then it shall be, if she has defiled herself and behaved unfaithfully toward her husband, that the water that brings the curse will enter her and become bitter. Her belly will swell, her thigh will rot, and the woman will become a curse among her people. But if the woman has not defiled herself and is clean, then she shall be free and may conceive children. This is the law of jealousy. When a wife, while under her husband's authority, goes astray and defiles herself, or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon a man and he becomes jealous of his wife, then he shall stand the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute all this law upon her. Then the man shall be free from iniquity, but that woman shall bear her guilt. Chapter 6. Then the Lord spoke to the children of Israel and said to them, when either a man or a woman consecrate an offering to take the vow of a Nazarite to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine, similar drinks. He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drinks. Neither shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat fresh grapes or raisins. All the days of his separation he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, from seed to skin. All the days of the vow of his separation, no razor shall come upon his head into the days of fulfill, for which he separate himself to the Lord. He shall be holy. Then he shall let the locks of his head of his hair grow. All the days that he separate himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. He should not make himself unclean even for his father or his mother, for his brother or his sister when they die, because his separation to God is all the days of his separation he shall be holy to the Lord. If anyone dies very suddenly beside him, and he defiles his consecrated head, then he shall shave his head on the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day he shall shave it. Then on the eighth day he shall bring two turtle doves, two young pigeons, to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. The priest shall offer one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering and make atonement for him because he sinned in regard to the course, and he shall sanctify his head that same day. He shall consecrate to the Lord the days of his separation and bring a male lamb in his first year as a trespass offering. But the former days shall be lost, because his separation was defiled. Now this is the law of the Nazarite. When the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. He shall present his offering to the Lord, one male lamb in his first year without blemish as a burnt offering, one e-lamb in his first year without blemish as a sin offering, one ram without blemish as a peace offering, a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, unleavened waffles anointed with oil, grain offerings, and their drink offerings. I thank God that we don't really have to do anything like this anymore. Jesus was offered up for everything. He died at Calvary's cross, and it was finished. No more sin offerings, grain offerings, rams and goats and turtle doves. All of that's over with, and I thank God for it. Then the priest shall bring them before the Lord, offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. And he shall offer the ram as a sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord with the basket of unleavened bread. And the priest shall also offer his grain offering and his drink offering. Then the Nazarite shall shave his consecrated head at the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and shall take the hair from his consecrated head and put it on the fire, which is under the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall take the boiled shoulder of a ram one unleavened cake from the basket and one unleavened wafer and put them upon the hands of the Nazarite after he has shaved his consecrated head. And the priest shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. They are holy. For the priest, together with the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering. After that, the Nazarite may drink wine. This is the law of the Nazarite who vows to the Lord the offering for his separation, and beside that, whatever else his hand is able to provide, according to the vow which he takes. So he must do according to the law of his separation. Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel, save them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Life blessing. God is precise in every single thing he do. And he wants us to be the same identical way. When we're separated to him to be holy, there's certain things that you have to do, and you have to do them. You have to do them exactly the way God wants you to do them. Life's lessons. God is just good. He's really, really good. Numbers 5 and 7, he shall confess the sin which he has committed. Confession of sin is a prerequisite for reestablishing close relations with fellowship with the Lord. Since all sin is unfaithfulness to God, we must admit to him how we have been unfaithful. If you admit to God that you have sinned, God will forgive you of any sin that you have committed. You just have to repent. And be willing to repent and admit to him that you have committed sin. And God is faithful and just. He will forgive you for anything that you've done, anything, including murder, adultery, theft, anything. God is just a good God all the time. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Good morning. I'm back again. Hallelujah. Praising God and thanking God for another day that he has made. I'm rejoicing in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As we go into our psalm this morning, the psalm is the 30th psalm, verses 8 through 12. And our title for today is, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Can we just thank God again today? I cried out to you, O Lord. To the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth, clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Hallelujah. I will give thanks to you forever. Proverbs 11, 1 through 13. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. And as I went into the life lessons for our lesson for today, for Proverbs, you know, I'm going to go to Mother's Numbers 6 and 26, and I want to just read it one more time. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Pray, we want peace from God. It says, O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. We give thanks to God for peace.
You know, it says God loves to bless his people, to show us grace, favor, and peace. And the greatest blessing of all is that he blesses us with his presence. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. When God blesses us with his presence, we give thanks. When God blesses us with his grace, we give thanks. We thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me, is what Walter Hawkins wrote, and that's what we have to have. A thank you, Lord, in our spirit. And as we go into the Psalm 30 and 11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. And I can say God is so good. You know, we go through many of us, you know, who know and love Mother Rita, who passed on last month. Her celebration service is this Saturday. And Mother Valerie and myself and Sister Carolyn and some others will be attending. And we know that Mother Rita had that joy in her heart and in her spirit. And all I can say is I know that one day for her family, God will turn their mourning into dancing. But they know where she is, absent from the body, in the presence of the Lord. And it said God never meant for life to be one long lament. He never meant for his people to trudge through life over their heads. To know God is to know joy. And even in sorrow, we can rejoice in him. And I need that word because there are times where I go into a place that I ask God, Lord, deliver me and my children from, where we miss our loved one. You know, we miss that glue that was there that held us together as the head of our home. But we know that God will make a way out of no way, that he will give you dancing for your mourning. He will give you joy. He will give you peace. He will give you everything you need and more than what you can ask for. And as we go into Proverbs 11 and 1, it says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. God is as concerned that his people conduct fair and honest business practices as he is that their sexual lives honor him. We read that in Leviticus 10 and 22 last week, a week before. He delights in a just weight because it reflects his righteousness. God does not want us to be immoral. God does not want us walking in darkness. He wants us walking in light. For God is light. He is peace. He is joy. He is everything we need and more than we could ever ask for. That is who he is, awesome and mighty. And as we go into Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 38, then he came to Bethesda, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Now Jesus and his disciples were out of the towns of Caesarea, Syria, and Philippi. And on the road, he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke the word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But then he said he had turned around and looked at his disciples. He rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Little bit of done. Quick as you can think, the devil jumped into Peter to rebuke him, to get him to rebuke Jesus, because the devil didn't want him to die. The devil didn't want Jesus to come to this planet. He thought he was running some stuff. And then when the Son of God came to this world, he realized he runs absolutely nothing. And he even tried to tempt him, tried to take him out, tried to take him into a different place, and Jesus had to rebuke him then. And, you know, come on now. Jesus had been 40 days and 40 nights in prayer, in fasting, and the Satan, the first thing he does is come to try to tempt him. Try to tempt him. Change this stone into bread. And Jesus had to tell him the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. We got to stop and stop the devil in his tracks. And just quick, as you can imagine, jumped into Peter's spirit with a rebuke. And Jesus had to bind him real quick. "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Come on now. When he had cried, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world," come on now, "and loses his own soul?" You have so many people out there seeking power, seeking money, seeking fame, seeking everything but Jesus. You got folks wanting to get into ministry not for the salvation of man, not for souls to be saved, not for lives to be changed, but for how much money can they make? How many people can they get in the pews? How much tithes and offerings they can get, not for the kingdom of God, but for themselves. We've got to understand. Then you have those legacy pastors. My daddy was the pastor. My granddaddy was the pastor. So I want to take over this church too and be the pastor, because my great-great-grandfather founded it, and it's been in my family. You know, the family makes good money on being pastors of this church because we own it, and we own the land, and we own this, and we own that. So it's our church. And then you have people following after that selfish spirit, gaining the whole world but losing their souls. And it says, "Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." He's telling us again how he's coming. He's telling us again that he's coming with the angels of heaven, that he is coming. And if you deny Jesus on this earth, he will deny you one day. Don't ever be ashamed to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't ever be ashamed to say, "I am a believer. I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's the center of my life." We got to know who we are. "Yes, I'm a believer." And not be ashamed to say and call on the name of Jesus. Mark 8:36, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" We are seeing souls being lost for politics and for the gain of constituency, and then you get to Congress, you get to the Senate, and you do absolutely nothing for your constituents. You go to Congress, an ordinary person, and then you come out a millionaire. Come on now, there's something in that. Call it like it is. It's not for the people, but for self. And it says this question is meant as a rhetorical. Nothing can make up for the loss of one soul. Yet how many of us regularly exchange our souls for much less than the whole world? Wow. Forgetting who we are, forgetting that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and our God said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. So why are we sitting here giving our souls away to man and not to God? You have people that follow politicians more than they follow Jesus Christ, not of God. But yet they want to claim to love the Lord and vilify everybody else. When I was hungry, did you feed me? Or did you complain that SNAP was too much and that you didn't need to give the poor people that much for food, that they should do this, that, and the other? You claim that you are against abortion and you're pro-life, but when the child comes into the world, you don't want to give money for the mother to go to work so the child can be in child care. You don't want to help with that. You don't want to help with, again, SNAP and food stamps and the things that they need. You don't want to give. You want them to have more children, and yet you want to dictate who and what everybody can do. Because the first thing you want to do is incarcerate. There are more women in prison right now than have ever been in history, because women are taken and going to prison for the crimes of the men that they have been involved with, especially drug crimes. Women are spending time in prison. I saw a movie not too long ago called Kimba, which is the story of Kimba Smith, who was our sentence was commuted by Bill Clinton, and now she is an advocate for women, especially mothers incarcerated. She got 24 and a half years, and she had never committed one crime. She just happened to have been a girlfriend of a drug dealer who they couldn't catch, but her they arrested. Did not find drugs, did have no history of drugs, was lied to and told that if she plea bargained, she'd get 2.5 years. And instead, they charged her with every crime that this drug dealing boyfriend had committed for crack cocaine, which is almost 100 times more of a sentence than powder cocaine. And she wound up getting 24 and a half years in prison.
My Lord.
What does it mean to gain the whole world and lose your soul? My boyfriend got a car. My boyfriend's got money. My boyfriend's got everything. My boyfriend's got, as they say, he got houses. He got all of this stuff, drug dealing. And then you get caught up in the mess and wind up losing your life in prison, not because of something you did, but because you got involved with the wrong person. We've got to be so very careful that we don't get caught up in the glitz and the glamour of everything that is of the world and not getting caught up in Jesus Christ. And this is a thing, too, that we have in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. And when we look at verse 34, it says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And Dr. Stanley brings us to this question. Should I tithe when I am struggling financially? And I've heard different pastors even preaching that you don't have to tithe. But I believe that you do have to tithe. And it says, this is what Dr. Stanley says. This is from his perspective. From the human perspective, the Bible is a book of paradoxes. It says, for example, that if we really want to have life, we must first lose it, Matthew 10 and 39. If we want to understand authority, we must first become a servant, Matthew 20, 26 through 27. If we want to get ahead in life, we must first humble ourselves, 1 Peter 5 and 6. And giving to God the first step toward financial freedom. Wow, you say, how can I give God anything when I can't even pay my bills? How many of us have been there wondering how we going to pay our tithe? Doesn't God expect me to take care of my debts first? At first glance, such a response sounds reasonable. The problem is, it's not God's response. He insists that if we don't give, then we are robbing him. And we know that comes from Malachi, and we will end up in worse financial shape than ever. We should always keep in mind that God gives us this tenth in the first place. It never is ours. All things come from you, and of your own, we have given you. 1 Chronicles 29:14. The tithe is our way to renew God's blessing in our lives. It is always for our increase. God's promises have been tried and proven. This includes the promises regarding tithing. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, the Lord tells us, and then he adds, try me now in this, Malachi 3 and 10. Try me now in this. God invites us to try him, to prove his wisdom, to test his truth. What a bold challenge. Will we take it up? If we do, he promises to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings for you until it overflows. The challenge involves a tithe, a tenth of your income. That may frighten you, but remember, since God owns it all, he is asking only for a penny back out of every dime. He doesn't need the money. He simply wants us to discover the rewards of obedience. Giving to God supernaturally means priming the pump of divine supply. We initiate it by faith, not reason. Giving to God is the prerequisite for enjoying true financial freedom. If you feel afraid to give a tenth of your income, then at least start somewhere. When you start to give and realize the wisdom of God's economic plan, it won't be long until you will be giving a tenth of your income or even more. Give to God and watch him work and say, give to God and watch him work. God will bless you. God will take care of his children. Give to God and watch him work. It's all I can tell you. I've seen him work in my own life, and I know he will make a way out of no way. And that is all Mother Valerie and I have this morning. Mother Valerie, do you have anything else that you would like to share? If there is someone else out there who would like to share what God has done for you, you know, oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And we give thanks to God in our giving. We give thanks to God in our hearts. We give thanks to God in what we do for others. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, the psalmist says. And we give thanks to the Most High, for he is good, and he loves us, for the words can say. Mother Valerie.
You know, I was thinking about Psalms 30 and 11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You know, when Rita was released to go home to be with the Lord, it was a little, you know, it was sorrowful. But it said, God, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. And we started dancing and rejoicing and praising God because she was released. My sister had MS and she was paralyzed. She was released. And I know right now that she is dancing. She has a new body. She's being joyful before the Lord. God is a good God all the time. I mean, she's going to be missed because I called her every day, every other day, or every day, and we talked, and I miss doing that. I really do. I mean, she went to be with the Lord on the 14th of February, so I haven't really been that long. And God is just good. He's really, really good. He has turned my mourning into dancing, and God will do that. He has done that. So it's going to be a joyful occasion. Won't be no weeping and crying because she's in the presence of God. God has given her a new body. God is a good God. And each and every one of us will have to do the same thing that she have done. Each and every one of us will go home and be with the Lord. And that's if we live for the Lord. We're going to go home and be with the Lord. And that's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward when we can have absence from the body and presence with the Lord, the rapture, catching away of the church. I believe with all my heart it's going to happen, and I'm looking
Amen.
Forward to that day. It's going to happen because God said, God's word can't lie. When he says something in his word, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. It is the truth, and the truth is the truth. God is just good. And, you know, that's all I have, so I guess we're going to wrap up a little sooner.
Yes, let's make sure we have no callers. Any callers have a word from God this morning? If not, we are about to wrap up a little bit early, and that is all right, because we're going to do what God says do and not go do too much or do too less. We're going to do exactly what the Lord says do. So it is done, Mother. We are a wrap. And I say again, family, keep trusting God. Keep allowing him to work in your life. Oh, my Lord God, I will give thanks to you forever. So many
Amen.
Times, Mother, give from God and never tell God thank you. Even children, I've watched get something from someone and don't say thank you because they hadn't been taught to say thank you. The first thing I had taught my grandson when he was just really a baby, whatever he would get, I'd say thank you. Say thank you, sweetie. And he'd say thank you. Could barely speak, but he'd know I'd say thank you. And even now, it's a habit. Whenever he's given anything, I'll say, what do you say? He'll say, thank you. And I don't have to say it. I just say, what do you say? He says, thank you. We teach our children to say thank you. It's
Amen.
Such a common thing. You know, I remember as a little girl, my mother, she was young. She was really a teenager. But what she remember, I remember so many times, my mother telling me, Bridget Mary, say please and say thank you. Please and thank you was two of the things I was taught by my mother as a child. Please and thank you. And please and thank you go a long way. I'm just trying to say it. It got me my own room in my godparents' home, okay? You know, just being mannerable and saying please and thank you. And I remember when I got my own room, that's all I could talk about to my aunts, to my uncles, to everybody in my family. But that I had my own room in Liz's house. I got my own room at Liz's house. And, you know, my godmother, she didn't want me to call her auntie. Just call her Lil and just call her Minnie. But I called her my mother and my father because they were my parents. And they were there for me and my mother. They were more like grandparents than anything.
And, you know, if my grandchildren, you know, tell me, you know, you're my grandmother. And that's what they were. They were my grandparents. And I will always be so grateful to God that my mother taught me to be mannerable, to say please, to say thank you. And as parents and grandparents, aunties and uncles, make sure that you teach the young to say please and thank you, not only to you, but especially. And when you pray, ask God to please lead and guide you, to please forgive you of all your sins. Please and thank you go a long way on earth as it does in heaven. So thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together to preach and to teach and to read your word this lovely morning, God. We thank you for this day that you have made. We are rejoicing in it. And as we pray, God, we ask you, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're out and one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over all of you and yours. We say together, amen. And thank you, Lord. Thank you. Mother, we should never forget to say thank you to God.
Amen.
Amen. Have a blessed day, family.
Do you have anything from Sister Carolyn? Have anything from Sister Carolyn, or are you ready?
Let me see if I've gotten it. I have gotten it. Thank you, Lord. We went long enough for me to get it. Thank you. And our word for this morning is this. When you are starting to, when you are starting to feel defeated, that's the best time to push. And we know what push is. We pray until something happens. Prayer changes things. Have a mellow Monday, everybody. And I thank God for Sister Carolyn, for we need to push. When we give thanks to the Lord, pushing. We're praying until something happens. You got to tell God thank you in advance. Thank you, Lord, for my debts being paid. Thank you, Lord, for my children having careers. Thank you, Lord, for the grace and the mercy that can only come from you. Thank you, Lord, for increasing our ministry. Thank you, Lord, for children being saved. Thank you, Lord, for seniors being saved, set free, and filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty God. Thank you, Lord, for just loving us more than we love ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. We got to learn how to push. And pushing sometimes means just saying thank you. As you pray, you thank God in advance. You pray until something happens, believing and telling God thank you. Have a blessed day, family. Thank you, Mother Valerie. Thank you, all callers. Listen, God bless you. God keep you. God's light shine upon you. May he give you grace with his abundance of mercy. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And this time, Mother Valerie, what is it? It is what? It's a wrap.
It's a
wrap. I got to go to work.
Have a blessed
and wonderful rest this morning. And again, family, join me and Mother Valerie tomorrow as we continue in the word of God, God's will. If it's God's will, we'll be back tomorrow. Have a great and blessed day, family. Enjoy the sunshine. Enjoy the beauty of his holiness. Have a great day, family. And this time, it's our fifth and final closing. Mother Valerie, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.